Are you interested in improving your procurement and negotiation skills and understanding? Well, this is the podcast for you. The Procurement Podcast with Andy and Christoph.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Procurement Podcast with me, Andy Franks, and my colleague, Christoph Barrière-Vajou. Hi, Christoph.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Christoph. And I'm delighted we've got a guest coming on the podcast today, Jody Rowe. Jody, perhaps you could introduce yourself and give us a little bit of a potted history of your professional career.
Of course. Thank you very much for providing this opportunity. I run two businesses at the moment. One's called Rowe Advisory and the other one's Promethea Procurement, fundamentally contracts and procurement businesses. Prior to that, my career has been a blend of half mining and half oil and gas, especially in oil and gas in the major projects sense. So I had been working on QCLNG for BG, which is now Shell, and had left there and decided that, you know, like a lot of people, that I wanted to go into consulting and do boards. And so basically I decided to give it a go, and we've done pretty well for ourselves as far as Rowe Advisory goes. We've had some fantastic oil and gas clients, from the very biggest ones to Senex Energy and Santos and a range of others, as well as industrial, mining, BHP, etc. And about 2 years ago, we decided to launch into Promethea Procurement, which is an online advisory and template business. So I wanted to put all that good experience from working in mining and oil and gas, which typically have pretty robust processes and procedures, and try and put out to other industries and businesses what the value chain looked like in having a really good, strong procurement function in these businesses.
Sounds fantastic. So ideal candidate to be on the Procurement Podcast. Do appreciate it. So the first question that I'm contractually obligated to ask is always, what is procurement?
Oh, what's procurement to me? It's just the art of buying goods and services. It's not a cost thing for me. Procurement is really around value. And the definition of value could be from, you edit these, don't you?
Yes, don't worry.
Thank God.
You're not the only person answering like that, Jody. So it's such a broad question that it really depending on which angle you want to approach it. Yeah.
No, but I think the answer you gave was very succinct, in as much as saying it. I like the fact to call it the art of procurement as well, because it's not just a cost thing. It can be quality, it can be environmental impact, it can be whatever value one perceives value to be. So I think that's I think it's quite a good place to start from anyway. Taking that from there as an edit point, if we looking at procurement and in particular the remarkable circumstances we've all found ourselves in the last 12 months or so, what do you think, or kind of perhaps rephrase it, so what is the long-lasting impact of the pandemic going to be on procurement specifically? I mean, globally, it's hard to tell, and I appreciate procurement's just one aspect of life, but what do you think the potential impact of the pandemic has been and will continue to be on procurement?
Well, I think in the whole contracts and procurement focus, I think it's raised the profile of businesses to manage risk. Well, I think that's probably the number one thing, whether it's supply chain risk or managing their contracts to get that value out of it. I think it's certainly done that. It's pushed some companies into that obvious cost reduction and taking their spend and trying to get that cost base out of suppliers. But I actually think the profile has been raised because of COVID, because it's a huge reliance on supply chain, reducing working capital, all these various different factors. So whether that's going to continue on, sometimes I see these things happen, you know, an oil price will drop and everyone will slash costs, but then eventually we forget and those old behaviours start coming back in. We've had a number of clients that have basically been concerned they just don't have a strong enough governance and they're being pushed to the wall and they need to put that in place to keep their spend management under control. So I think it's certainly raised the profile a hell of a lot compared to the past, which is a good thing from the profession point of view, because it is critical to the business.
Absolutely. I think that's very true.
Yeah, Jody, do you think that organizations realize that some of the elements that you just mentioned into, you know, the obvious cost reduction and controlling spend and understanding how companies spend money, suddenly they realize that, oh, we should have done that perhaps a little bit before, prior to the crisis, in order to not be surprised and be reactive. So in effect, you know, we should have done that a little bit more proactively in the past. And unfortunately, when situation like the COVID-19 happened, it's very reactive. So not necessarily the best decisions are made, because you are such in a hurry to reduce your cost that very often the biggest cost is the employees, which may not be the best cost to reduce. So what are your views on how those cost reduction initiatives were implemented? Were they based on a knee-jerk reaction? We'd have to do something very quickly, regardless of the quality of the decisions. Or companies still took the time to do something a little bit more thoughtful in terms of cost reduction and managing that cost in a way that is going to be sustainable in the long term?
Yeah. Hopefully I've got the question down. I actually think that all good procurement should start with a good plan and understanding what your costs are historically and in the future. So using some, you know, dividing your spend up into various different categories and having good visibility on both of the past and the future is critical to actually executing a contract. And then you've got the time to resource up the plan, as well as really focus on those categories where you're going to get true value. Not necessarily the easy things, the transactional stuff, but the tough things, the strategic things, the global categories, that type of thing. But you really need to do a lot of strategic thinking attached to it. Whether companies are, we've worked for very large organisations that I would say to them, do you have a good plan for the future of what the procurement is? Oh, you know, the company has a budget. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a procurement plan. Do you know when contracts are coming up to an expiry date? How do you know how many resources you need in the function if you don't know what it looks like? And they still work in that reactive nature. And I do think a lot of it comes back to, let's focus on where you get the real value and not everything, because ordinarily you just don't have the headcount to focus on every transaction, and you have to make that call as to what I am going to deal with in the high value, high risk, high value delivery space. But I personally, I think that's why we wanted to do Promethea, was to make sure that procurement could touch every organisation in an affordable way, because I just don't think, outside of maybe a lot of the tier ones, the companies you've mentioned to me, you know, the Shells, et cetera, of the world, there's not a lot of that being done.
I think that's a really valid points. And one of the the questions that that raises in my mind is where procurement sits in an organization. Traditionally, it's been quite often perceived as an adjunct either to a manufacturing, the manufacturing aspect of a particular company, if that's what they're majoring in. More often than not, they get passed off into the backwaters of the finance function, and that automatically draws the focus onto cost and not to value necessarily. Do you think that that's one of the challenges? Do you think that's the right place that procurement should sit, or should it be another branch into the board, or should it be a board level role from the off?
Oh, look, honestly, the higher you can get contracts and procurement reporting, the better off you'll be. And I've always struggled, your sales revenue commercial function typically sits in the leadership team. I've never understood why procurement wouldn't sit in that same team because of the risk that they manage and the sheer spend. And so the higher in the organisation, the better. I think, whether it's to a director of the organisation, the board or the CFO, I think sometimes it's better if it sits within, say, a chief operating officer or someone that has accountability for the operational spend and projects, just merely for the fact that they'll get a good visibility. But from a governance point of view, it's probably good sitting with a CFO because they are all about governance and process and procedures, and it's, from a P2P basis, it's good to sit there too. But either way, the higher it is in the organisation, the better it will be viewed and the better you can demonstrate the value. And certainly on procurement boards which I've been a part of in those big organisations, you've got to have people understanding where that money's going and, having good contracting strategies, good recommendations to award that people at that director or, senior leadership team have to sign off is a must.
Yeah.
And a really good dashboard with some good KPIs. It doesn't have to be a lot, but you can easily demonstrate the value that you're delivering. Is really important. But the higher the reporting line, the better.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with that and support that. And I think that's been a constant. It is interesting when ownership of procurement becomes a leverage point within the internal dynamics of an organisation, and sometimes that's not always to the benefit of the broader business. But certainly, I think see almost a parallel link between the CEO, COO, and CFO would be where a CPO could put that function could exist at board level. I don't know too many businesses that do that, but I do think it's a missed opportunity.
I wanted to ask Jody, what are the especially in today's world, what are the best entry point at the moment given the COVID situation? What do companies should be looking at to improve or to better manage the spend, the contract, the relationship with the suppliers? Is there something that you will go into a company and say, look, this is the top three items that you really have to consider?
I'm of the principle that you've got to keep things relatively simple. And if you're in an organisation that has not had a huge amount of governance around their procurement process and basically the business is just fumbling along doing what they do, to go and enact a massive amount of change is setting it up for failure. It's like all of a sudden putting a procurement person into a business that they've never had procurement, well, they're just going to get bombarded. And that's just not the way to do it. You've got to do it in a very systematic, deliberate manner that is engaging stakeholders as well as really embedding the change. So I always think the simple thing to do from a procurement point of view is just to get those essentials down pat. And some of them would be just simply no purchase order, no goods or services. Okay, so if you're going to go out there and buy things, do not get them without a purchase order. That's it, right? Addressing some maverick spend things. I think the second thing I'd probably do, because I think the maverick would be rife if you've got no process. The second thing I'd do is put a simple policy together, just some really quick guidelines around where, say, for example, on high value, low value, operational, where can I just do a purchase order versus where do I have to say I need some help? What's that value? So if it's a purchase order under 50,000, I might only need two quotes. So just a simple high level policy on that type of thing. And the top three things I would do is I would engage someone to help me look at, okay, well, how do I manage the risk of this organisation? How do I manage the spend? And engage someone to have a look at your organisation and not take it from a, you know, let's implement every policy under the sun. That keep it very simple and have a plan as to what it looks like for the next 12 months. Just some simple things to do. I don't think they're not complex.
Yeah, I agree. I agree because a lot of organizations are looking at the next best, you know, artificial intelligence and all those sort of things, and the basics are still not being addressed, like you just mentioned, the essential, the no purchase order, no goods and services. You know, you don't want to raise a purchase order after the fact because that defeats the purpose of correct reporting and being able to make the right decisions. So it's I totally agree with you, Andy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that makes a huge amount of sense, and it is still surprising that businesses in this day and age don't have that level of, you know, straightforward sort of insight. One of the questions for you, Jody, is we talked about the impact of COVID and, you know, procurement, but looking, and Christoph touched on AI, looking at the future of procurement, what does that landscape look like from where you sit?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with COVID. And as an example, the flexibility around working online and those sorts of things. I really am hoping that the future of procurement is viewed differently by businesses than what it currently is. So if you're a large organisation and you have a procurement function, then you should have a graduate program bringing in procurement people. And spend more money on developing those resources because good procurement people are very difficult to get. They're like diamonds. And I'm kind of hoping that that's viewed a little bit better in the future. But, you know, it's got to be all about technology. It's got to be online, getting the expertise that you need when you need it rather than on a full-time basis. I think probably less generic, less specialty categories, but more generic so that people aren't just projects people. They are basically, they can be projects, they can be doing fuel, they can be doing a whole range of different categories and not just be an explosives or a freight person. I think that's the future as well, so you basically can mix your team up and deliver what you need with the resources that you have. I can't see it being that's probably one of the major reasons of going down Promethea procurement is that it was it is online, and it does give people the flexibility to switch on the procurement resources when they need them, rather than having them sitting in an overhead, you know, all the time. Because
I like the thinking around having generalists in as opposed to specifics, because the actual, whether you're buying, you know, IT or whether you're buying fuel, or, you know, the dynamics of negotiation are pretty much straightforward. Of course, there is the scoping of the requirement. So, you know, if you're imagining an IT and you're looking to buy a system, if you're not scoping a system that's supported by your network, then that, you know, but that's almost the technical as opposed to the practical procurement function can be separated, and you can therefore allow yourself to have people who can go across multiple categories, and at the same time, from what it sounds like from Promethea procurement, you can also tap in on a needs must basis, which is it's an intriguing option.
Well, I think that unless your organisation has a really strong leadership around procurement, it's really difficult to get that seat at the table, right? So my kind of view is that spend your budget on getting that seat at the table, and have flexibility with the resources that you bring in and bring out. Because typically, if you want a capital projects person, you wouldn't normally put them in a full-time role unless you've got a really long-term project, because you typically fill those roles with contractors. My view is that with procurement, it's similar. There's so many times you look at your plan as to what you want to implement with procurement, and unless you bring in external resources, you'll never get it done. And I think that's like where Promethea comes in as well. So if you actually have a whole range of sourcing activities, you just switch them on. When they're done, they give the contract back to the business. Or if you need a category plan done, you switch them on, and then when it's done, you give it back to the business. That gives you a better expertise with the professionals than what you could typically recruit on a certain pay scale. And that's where I struggle with that. People will say, okay, right, well, that's quite a bit of money, but you actually get it done in a less time. You're getting the industry experience across a variety of different industries is what good looks like. You're getting people that have worked on this type of work, you know, for 25 years, and they're going to do it in a far shorter period of time.
In a heartbeat, yeah. Just conscious of time. So I suppose one of the remaining questions that I have is, in terms of procurement as a profession going forward, what, I mean, you've touched on the fact that procurement should have a seat at the table, or certainly have greater access to as high up an organisation as possible. But for people starting out, you know, and I like your graduate training or procurement graduates training idea, but for people looking to go into procurement, particularly, you know, from university or from college, what do you think the benefits of a life in procurement are?
Well, I've spent half of my career in commercial and the other half in contracts and procurement, and I think the opportunity in contracts and procurement is huge. So you haven't you've not got a massive pool of people. This is just my perspective. So the opportunities created are incredible. You can work on projects. You can work in any various different categories, always on systems and process. So You know, you can work in advisory, you can work in oil and gas mining, all sorts of different things all over the world. So it's appropriate anywhere for a lot of organisations. Not all, but a lot. If you can get into a graduate program with a large or company, you know, they will invest in you. And it won't just be learning about contracts and procurement. It'll be learning about production. It'll be learning about safety and all of those sorts of things. The struggle I have in certain areas in Australia, just to get contracts and procurement people, that investment in the graduate has to be there. So if you're an oil and gas company, you shouldn't be just doing a graduate program for engineers. It needs to be across the board, supply chain, all sorts of different categories. I don't think we're that mature yet. I don't think we are. But if I was starting out, I'd be looking at an industry program, and I'd also be looking at vacation work in a number of those organisations as well, to see if you align to those industries also that you want to go into. You know, internships, anything like that as well is really important. SIPs is important, listening to podcasts, using LinkedIn, all of those things, and using your network. I have a graduate that works for me who's got a degree in supply chain, and I met her through someone else that introduced me to her. Now, if in some respects, if I didn't actually, she wasn't working for me, I'm not sure that there'd be that many opportunities for her. There's more kids coming out of university than what there are jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
But networks and relationships get you work.
Absolutely, they do. And I think there's a positive story to tell about procurement. You know, I must admit, when I sat in front of my careers officer at school, procurement wasn't on the list of things to do. I think I was given two options. One was to become a journalist, and the other one was to drive a bus. So, but then finding out through procurement that find myself on the other side of the world because of this quirky little aspect of corporate life, it just proved that it can take you to some interesting places. As obviously, you know, when you were talking through your career, Jodie, it has helped happen to you as well. So, Christoph, have you got any final questions?
Yes, I do have one question. I'd like to get Jodie's view on with remote work. Have companies gained or lost productivity in your views?
Well, if I think of my own business, we work virtually all over the world. So, you know, we're working for Indonesia out of Brisbane. So I think from that perspective, it's a real focused approach. There's no distractions. So I think there's that benefit that if you're there, you're just working. You've not got endless streams of meetings and all of that sort of stuff. So I don't see a productivity issue with that. I think a lot of businesses are moving to less workstations in the office and things like that prior to COVID. I'm not sure my view would be the same as a CEO for a large organisation that wants to see their overhead being used as in their offices. I think it's personal about the productivity thing. I don't think it makes much difference in my view, but I'm sure there's some very passionate people out there paying high rent that would see it differently. I think if you've got past the storming phase of a project or a business and the relationships are solid, people get paid for performance and delivery, and they get soon found out if they're not delivering.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, like I've worked remotely for a long, long time. So did Andy and yourself, Jodie. And the challenge is for people that are perhaps beginning in their careers or working with the teams and learning along the way, certainly they lost that face-to-face interaction and learning on the job, that will be very difficult for them. So that's one impact. The second impact is perhaps the lack of motivation. So yes, we can do a task for a while and do it better because there's no distraction. There's no one asking us to go down the street for a coffee or have a quick chat in the hallway. However, while it's fun at first to work from home, long term, if you are lacking that social interaction, it becomes quite draining mentally and emotionally on some individuals. So you're not being challenged every day by people arguing or questioning your thoughts or asking for advice. So that's where I see the downside a little bit of remote work is if you remove that interaction, it becomes a little bit more less productive in a way. I think it works for some individuals. It doesn't work for others. Some function works very well remotely. Some other don't. But it will be interesting to see the long-term impact and how organizations are going to remunerate the employees going long-term if they still feel the salary is the best way to go. Or are we moving more toward a project-by-project remuneration?
Absolutely. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Well, look, Jogi, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Really do appreciate not only the time, but also your insights. It's been a fascinating chat, and we both appreciate that very much. Do you have any final parting thoughts about procurement?
No, not really. I mean, I would welcome anybody that wants a discussion with me about what Promethea can do from that template and online advisory, because it is the world that we're in at the moment, and there are people out there that can provide that support. And obviously the templates are a cost-effective way of governance and process, etc. So yeah, I thank you guys for the opportunity for doing this. I really appreciate it, and I'm always open to conversation with people listening if they want to contact me.
Jody, do you want to mention quickly your contact details or website? We'll put those details in the podcast anyway, but if you want to mention them now, feel free to do so, yeah.
Promethea Procurement is the website, prometheaprocurement.com, and Promethea stands for procurement in Greek. I was trying to find something a little different, and it gets called many things, but it's Promethea.
I'm sure it does.
And so my contact is jody@prometheaprocurement.com, and Row Advisory has a separate website as well, and they have an enormous range of case studies on the website, from projects to systems, more complex type solutions and things like that. So, yeah, they can contact me at any time. I think you've got my mobile too.
Yeah, well, if anybody wants to get in contact with Jody via the podcast, then please do get in touch at the normal place or via the details she's already given. All that remains for me to say is, thank you very much, Jody. Really appreciate your time, as I said, and your insight. It's been fascinating. And good luck with Promethea Procurement.
Terrific. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Christoph.
Thank you very much, Jody.
Cheers, bye. Christoph.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Procurement Podcast with Andy and Christoph. For more information, please visit our website, procurementpodcast.com, and feel free to email us your questions at info@procurementpodcast.com.